Good morning and welcome to St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall, Ontario, Canada this morning. And here are the announcements for this morning. The women of the church are reminded of their annual meeting Wednesday, February 1st, here at the church. There will be a potluck at noon, followed by the meeting. Next week, we look forward to welcoming Senator Bernadette Clement to St. John's as we celebrate Black History Month. This evening at 7, there will be a gathering of those interested in taking part in this year's confirmation program. All youth and parents are invited. This morning, we welcome Reverend Jim Ferrier and his wife Olga to St. John's. Their family, son Alex and daughter-in-law Amber, have 2 children, aged 3 and 6. But ministry is Jim's second career. After working in a small manufacturing plant in Cambridge, Ontario, he returned to school at Wilfrid Laurier University in Waterloo as an adult student and then to Presbyterian College in Montreal. Jim has served congregations in Kootenay Presbytery in Castlegar, B.C., Assiniboine Presbytery with the United Church in Weyburn and Presbyterian Church in Estevan in Saskatchewan, Superior Presbytery in Thunder Bay, Ontario, Lanark and Renfrew Presbytery in Almont and Kilburn, Ontario, and finally, making it all the way to the east, Seaway Glengarry Presbytery in Maxwell, Moose Creek in St. Elmo, and presently Reverend Ferrier and Reverend Adams are serving as co-interim moderators of the Dunvegan Kirk Hill Pastoral Charge. We are delighted he has found our home in our area, and doubly delighted he will be in our pulpit this morning. Welcome, Reverend Ferrier.
First of all, Wes, thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. Some time ago, I think before Robert was inducted as your minister, I was asked to preach, and that was several years ago now. So it's great to be back and to join with you in worship for this morning's service. We had an interesting ride. We live in Maxville, by the way. And one of the things we find in this neck of the woods, as Wes said, in the far east of Ontario, is that at least in our area anyway, the roads I think are very well kept, and we're for any number of reasons very happy about that. So once again, it's good to be back with you to join and lead in worship. And that brings us to our responsive call to worship, and we begin. What a gift it is to be in God's house.
What a privilege it is to be in God's presence.
And what a joy it is to worship our God. And together, let us worship our God. And we continue with our prayer of approach. Let's pray. Lord God, we come this day to praise your great name. You are the God whose love for all mankind is shown in one person, Jesus Christ. For any who are searching for evidence of your love, they need look no further. In Christ Jesus, we see and know of your love. And for the offer and the opportunity of forgiveness that is Jesus, Lord God, we praise you through this same Jesus Christ. And we say together, Amen. Our opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Oh,
We continue with our prayer of confession. We will be saying this in unison, and it will be followed by our assurance of pardon. Friends, together, let us pray. O God, how many ways, how many times have we shunned people, making them feel unclean, unfit to be around us? How we have barriers to separate us from those whom we think are less than us. We know that this runs completely opposite to your message of grace and Jesus' offer of forgiveness. Yet we continue in our efforts to separate us from them. We continue to deny Jesus' touch on their hearts, the touch that brings healing for their souls and starts them on the path to fullness of life. O God, forgive us our puffed up self-image that gets in the way of Jesus' image. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And friends, grace and peace is given to you in Jesus Christ. All who call upon his name, Jesus claims as his own. The God who calls you to share in the life of his Son, Jesus Christ, is the God who keeps the faith and forgives our sin. And we give thanks to God. Amen. For our next hymn, Just As I Am, Without One Plea.
Oh,
you join with me in a brief prayer for illumination as we come to God's Word and in turn God's Word comes to us? Let's pray. O God, there is no end to your love toward us. In spite of our sins and failures, indeed because of these very things, you reach out to us through the cross of your Son, our Savior. We praise, we thank you forever. Amen.
Good morning, Reverend. The responsive reading today is from the Old Testament, Book of Psalms, chapter 31, verses 1 to 5 and 21 to 24, which will be on the screen. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. In your justice, set me free.
Hear me and speedily rescue me.
Be a rock of refuge for me.
A mighty stronghold to save me.
For you are my rock, my stronghold.
For your name's sake, lead me and guide me.
Release me from the snares they have hidden.
For you are my refuge, Lord.
Into your hands I commit my spirit.
It is you who will redeem me, Lord God of truth.
Blessed be the Lord who has shown me the wonders of his love in a fortified city.
I am far removed from your sight, I said in my alarm.
Yet you heard the voice of my plea when I called for help.
Love the Lord, all your saints.
He guards his faithful.
But the Lord will repay to the full those who act with pride.
Be strong, let your heart take courage, all who hope in the Lord. Again from the Old Testament, 2 Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given him victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from a skin disease. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his skin disease." So Naaman went in and told his lord that what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his skin disease." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his skin disease? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted in the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the skin disease." Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? He turned and went away in rage. But his servants approached and said to him, Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more, when all he said to you was, wash and be clean? So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. The reading from the New Testament is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. A man with a skin disease came to him begging him, and kneeling he said to him, If you are willing, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be made clean. Immediately the skin disease left him and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testament to them. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. Let us allow the Spirit to fully speak to us as we join in singing, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say, hymn number 671 in the Book of Praise and on your screen.
Join me in a short word of prayer. May the words in my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Mark's fairly brief account of Jesus and the man with leprosy is chock full of significant reversals. We begin them with Jesus, first of all, acknowledging that this man has leprosy. And that alone is significant, but he doesn't stop there. He then reaches out. He reaches out and touches the man after his plea that Jesus heal him. And now, and with that very action, Jesus really is crossing the line. You don't do that. You simply don't do that, both for the, quote, medical reasons of the time and of the day, as well as for societal reasons. The unclean, the diseased, the palsy, and so on. People with any kind of affliction, these are to be left alone, pushed away, shoved to the sides. The reversals continue, though. Jesus' direction to the newly healed man goes against the grain of what we would expect. Keep this to yourself, the man is told. Go see the authorities, pay your thank offering because, well, that's the custom and that's the law. Now, can't we just hear this man after what has happened to him saying, as he's running off to tell everybody what he's going to do, can't you just hear him saying, oh, sure, Jesus, I'll keep this to myself. But what a switch. What a reversal this is. Jesus telling this man to say nothing to anybody. Given the kind of tension between Jesus and the religious establishment of the time, you'd think that the religious establishment would be the ones to tell this man to keep quiet about his wonderful news for fear that Jesus' fame would erode their already eroding status. But no, it's Jesus. It's Jesus who says, say nothing to anybody. Maybe he knows what would happen once this news gets out. Pardon me, Mark's account does have it that when the people do hear of this, well, frankly, they chase after Jesus. They hound Jesus to the point where he is forced into a kind of isolation. But what we see here being played out is nothing short of love. Selfless love. Selflessly expressed, albeit with a hint of anger. We'll get to that in a moment. We see the breaching of social behavior to reach out and touch the outcast. And a bit of an aside here, this unnamed man, he is a leper. And it's for this reason, of course, that he is shunned. Incidentally, leprosy is one of the very few diseases that are mentioned in Scripture. But even before the concept of contagious disease is developed, leprosy was considered to be contagious. To have leprosy, and this is, I don't think, too much of a stretch, to have leprosy really was, at the time, to be given a death sentence. But there is more to this than this condition. The man is shunned. Almost certainly by his family, definitely by his community. However, when he sees Jesus, he sees the possibility of deliverance. When he looks at Jesus, he may well see the man, but more so, what he sees is hope. As Mark has it, he comes to Jesus begging, may well even be groveling, but definitely hoping that he can be healed. And chances are it is a tentative hope based on his past experience. So he says to Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, in a way, the leper, pleading, although he is, he's, and this may be a bit of a stretch as well, But in a way, he can be seen also as throwing a kind of a challenge to Jesus. Hear again what he says, at least from the version that I have. If you want, you can make me clean. A challenge or not, Jesus responds, and the man is healed. Now, how Jesus responds may be startling to us as well. Yes, he heals the man of his condition, this reaching out and touching a diseased outcast. Nowadays, we accept and we would even expect that. I need to stop for a moment here and bring to your attention that, Caitlin was using a different translation than me, than I use. So I need that as a kind of an introduction to make sense of this next part. In the version that I was using, at any rate, Jesus looks on this leper, and this is in Mark's account, with, now get this, warm indignation. Now think of that for a minute. Warm on the one hand, indignation on the other. So what's this warm indignation all about? Most translations have Jesus looking at this man with pity, with compassion. You might well expect indignation, but even warm indignation, though, that seems out of character for Jesus when he is faced with someone in need. By the way, neither of the other two gospel accounts that have this, both in Matthew and in Luke, neither of the other gospel accounts convey that sense. For that matter, they don't have Jesus showing even compassion. In a way, it's a kind of a matter-of-fact rendering of this encounter between Jesus and the leper. So what's going on with Jesus' indignation, even if it is warm? A little bit, very little bit, I should add, of church doctrine here. Within our faith, we believe that Jesus, and I should say that we believe in the full humanity of Jesus Christ. This is to say that he is not only God, he's not only divine, but Jesus is also human, fully human. There's your short doctrine. Like us, Jesus responds to circumstances in a very human fashion. In this case, indignation, anger being part of the range of responses. But indignation, anger, at a leper's plea to be healed? Well, that really does seem pretty much over the top. Was Jesus then indignant because this leper has violated the social custom of the day? Keep your distance. Remember, Jesus' touch heals this man. So is it the gall? Is it a kind of desperate impudence that propels this man to come close to Jesus to ask for help? If you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus can, and Jesus does. But back to this warm indignation. More likely, the indignation, the anger, is directed at the man's condition. More likely, the indignation is directed at a society that would shun a person. More likely, Jesus' anger and indignation is over what the leprosy has done to this person, not strictly to this person's body, but more so how it isolates him from the warmth of human community. More likely, Jesus is angry, indignant at the evil of it all. This is not the way God intended life to be. If anyone would know that, it is Jesus. Jesus is angry because evil once again has intruded into God's good and loving purposes for the world. And when the leper pleads to be made clean, his is a cry for far more than cleansing. That's vitally important to him. Don't be mistaken about that. He is also crying to be received rather back into the human community. He is pleading for a chance to become fully human once again. And whether he knows it or not, he is also pleading, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We'll be praying that in a few moments. He is pleading. He is pleading for the triumph of God's good purposes, not someday, but today. Not in heaven, but here and now. And isn't this the universal cry of all humanity? To be let in. To be part of a community. To be accepted. I ask you to think, pardon me, of some of the struggles you may have had, not simply to fit in, more so to be accepted, to be welcomed in a community. I ask you to think back a bit again to some degree how often that you have watched and maybe even wept with your own children because they've been told in one way or another that they don't belong. In one way or another, we all seek to be in community. How we go about it at times takes us on some interesting and at times tragic paths. A little short illustration about that. We're told by people, and you probably have heard this numerous times yourselves, we're told by researchers who study gangs, for instance, that their prime target for membership is the young person who has no community. The young person, pardon me, who is alienated and just wants to be let in somehow. Somewhere, anywhere. That is the far end of that spectrum. And it is also, but I should say, it is also not the community to which God calls us, that God wants us to be. The community into which God calls us is one that fulfills rather than empties and deflates. It brings out the best in us and celebrates it, not seeking the worst in us and then going about exploiting it. The community into which God calls all of humanity is modeled by the selfless love that Jesus shows this outcast leper. He restored a bruised and a broken man, restoring him to health, to wholeness. Jesus restores him to life. He restores him to human community. And as a result, Jesus becomes a marked man himself. Eventually, and in fact soon to be abandoned, eventually losing everything, even his life. Jesus has sacrificed his personal freedom in order to care for someone else. When he came face to face with the evil in this world, Jesus was angry. He was filled with righteous, not only warm indignation, righteous indignation, and yet he did not sit back and pontificate about the evil in the world. He reaches out. He gets involved. He touches. He heals. As a result, he gets infected. He catches what we have. For our sakes, he becomes infected with our sinfulness, with the limitations of our humanity. And yet God in Christ could not remain in holy isolation. Rather, he came to us, shared our lot, touched us, and paid dearly for it. He who was without sin took on our sin and paid everything. To put this another way, He got what we have so that we may get what he has. Friends, this is selfless love. And for that, we give thanks to God. Amen. And let's take a moment for prayer. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his life's blood, who calls on each one of us to be a priest in the temple of his Father and our God, to him be all glory, all dominion, all power, forever and for all time. Amen. We have a moment for mission, I think. Prayer. Christ Jesus, you have given of yourself so freely and fully. Help us who have received your grace to give generously in turn, so that we may feel the pleasure of giving as well as the joy of receiving. Amen. As we continue with our worship service for this morning, and as we're coming close to the conclusion of our worship time together, let's join our hearts and minds in our prayers, our prayers of the people, and this will be followed by the Lord's Prayer. And I think here at St. John's we use the debts and debtors version. Friends, let's pray. Oh God, we are so skilled at constructing walls and barriers around ourselves, between us and others. We look to you for forgiveness, and we lift to you our thanks. Thanks that when we come to our senses and realize that you are Creator and God over all, that you are the God who forgives us, then we give thanks. Thanks that you have given us Jesus, who scales the walls, who crosses boundaries, who shows us that no one is outside the realm of your love. We thank you that Jesus refuses to go along with the crowd, that he has and he will reach out and bring anyone and everyone to him who wants to be closer to you. that he will take them by the hand and bring them to you. We thank you, O God, for Jesus' eyes that look past our shortcomings, our sins, and will offer a second chance. We thank you, O God, for Jesus' heart that seeks out those whom we would write off and who brings them closer to you. And so, God, help us. Help us to be imitators of Jesus' example rather than copiers of the ways of the world. Lord God, we know that there are people who feel they simply don't belong. Maybe we have felt that way ourselves. They feel left out. They are made to feel like outsiders, and too often they are outside. The reasons are as many and varied as are the people. Some are shunted aside because of opinions they hold, opinions they espouse, opinions that go contrary to ours. Some are considered less than because they lack education or social graces, at least as we define them. People's status changes because of changes in their jobs or because they have no job. We tend to measure people by the company they keep. And yet too often, many have no company to keep other than their own. Their lives are often a desperate cry for acceptance, for some kind of community, for some sense of belonging. And too often, O God, our world turns a blind eye and a deaf ear. God of mercy, God of grace, instill in us that desire to imitate Jesus, to reach out in his warm indignation that we can use our skills and energy that you give us first, that we can use these skills, use that energy to change minds, to transform hearts, to bring people closer to you and bring you closer to people. This is our prayer that we bring to you through Jesus Christ, the same Jesus Christ who gives and gave his all for us, and through whom we offer the prayer he teaches to his disciples as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We conclude with the hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. If you're going along in your hymn books, you'll find this at selection 687. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Now, friends, go in peace and let us go knowing this, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the love of God who is almighty and eternal and everlasting, that all of these go with us this day, tomorrow, and for all time. And we say together, Amen.